Blog Talk Radio.
I'm yours, Diva Mac. Get ready, sit back. It's time to be entertained by the one and only Diva Mac. That's me.
What goes around, come back around. Hey, my baby. What goes around, come back around. Hey, my baby. Say what goes around, come back around. Hey, my baby. What goes around, come back around.
What happened at the New Orleans? Bitch, I'm back. I'm popular the man.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louise.
Them nothing. I have a problem with that. Those people who think they know it all,
and don't know half the stuff that they need to know in order to progress in life, but they know everything else. So today, you all, if you're tuning in to Diva Mac Show, we do have Ms. Richards on the line, and she's written her first article that has been actually published. And tell us a little bit about that article. Is that based on your life?
Yeah, it's based on my life. It's based on my process, the journey that I had to go through in order to get to where I'm at right now. You know, the journey's still continuing. I think it's going to be a journey that I take for the rest of my life because, I mean, the undoing of everything that's been done mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it's a testament to itself.
And I'm going to say that you have to excuse it. Every now and then I will interrupt because when you say something, it hits home to me. I'm going to intervene a little bit. I always tell people, the fact that you said journey, I always tell people it's not a walk for me. It's a journey. It's a lifelong journey. And some people don't understand that when they say, you know, if you could take a walk in my shoes, I say, no, my walk is a journey. So I just wanted to hit on that before I go any further with you, because I read the article and I was blown away, it was just a great article, not only inspires a testimony to those that are going through something or similar right now, and I tell people in life, you are going to have some of the same life experiences because we all live in this world and we all go through things at different times in our life. A lot of times people, you go to church and the pastor's talking and you swear he's talking directly to you. But what it really is that we all have life experiences, and it's about how do we get through those things in life? Do we continue to go through it, or do we get through it? And by reading your article, I can tell that you are getting through it and not steady going through it. It's one thing to be stagnant in mess. But I'm going to let you finish talking. Go ahead.
What was the question?
I just kind of intervened what you were saying, the journey. It's a journey for you. And just kind of talk about your article and it's actually being about you and how you were able to get through it and still get through the things that you went through. It was very interesting. You talked about, you know, how you didn't love yourself and how you weren't accepting of being a dark-skinned a woman or a dark-skinned child and turning through all this different type of allowing yourself to go through different types of abuse and knowing that it was abuse but steady going through it, and how you had to basically come to grips with life and who you were and look in the mirror so that you could start healing.
Right. So, yeah, the whole article is about me and my journey. And as you say, problems. You know, the problem was my thinking. You know, at the core root of it, the problem was my thinking. And I had to stop and change the way I think. I was in prison, cognitive intervention class, because I was not liking the results. You know, going to jail, getting out, going back to jail, wasn't being able to be there for my kids. I didn't like those results. So I was like, well, what's the problem? What do I need to do? And you know, it just hit me one day, and I think that was a godsend, that maybe you should just start doing the opposite of everything that you've been doing. So when you come to jail, let's do something else. Go to class. You know, they have classes. Go to a class. So I enrolled in cognitive intervention, and my teacher was a blessing. And this was the line that set it off for me. If the results of your behavior do not meet your needs over time, then there's an incorrect principle on your belief window. And then from there, I started dissecting my thoughts, my beliefs, you know, my thinking patterns. And, oh, my God. I was like, you know,
everything starts with the mind. And it's all about how you think. You can think yourself happy. You can think yourself sad. And I tell you all the time, it is you have the right to feel how you want to feel in any situation. You can decide you want to be happy in a sad situation. You can decide you want to be sad in a happy situation. You can decide you want to be mad. It's up to you. It is all about your thought process. It's amazing that you came to grips and realized, hey, I have control over my thoughts and how I want to think regardless of my situation. I'm going to stop you, and you may have to say when you start stopping, but I love that we're talking about this and that you're open to, you know, speaking. You're telling people your story, because I tell people all the time, everybody has a story, but everybody won't tell their story in fear of being judged and looked down on and shunned on. But I'm so glad that your mindset had to be that, you know what, I don't care, I'm going to help somebody else. because someone helped me. It's like you had to set your mind and say, you know what, I'm going to tell my story, and I'm not going to leave anything out. And it takes a certain type of thought process, a certain mindset to be able to do those things, to be able to do exactly that. But go ahead. I'm excited.
Yeah, you were saying the thing about fear and telling your story. You know, I learned early on after I got out of jail and I did the recovery thing, the 12-step thing. You know, they said that that you're just as sick as your sickest secret. I can't keep no secrets. I can't afford to keep secrets. And if me telling my secrets helps somebody, then I'll let it all out, you know. I've done some of the dirtiest, doggest things ever, and, you know, that you wouldn't think would come from me. But it came from me, you know, and it had a lot to do with how I saw myself, how I viewed myself, and I viewed myself the way that I saw myself because of the things that I was inundated with as a child. You know, and not purposely, some purposely and some not purposely. But, you know, your subconscious never sleeps. You take it all in and you make your decisions based off the subconscious. It's not your conscious. You know?
Absolutely, Let me ask you a question, though, if you don't mind. How long were you in jail and what were you in jail for and why did you keep going back?
Which time? Which time? I have 9 felonies, and all of them are drug-related, as in prostitution, distribution, possession. They're all related to my drug habit. And funny thing is, I didn't start going to jail until I was 24. You know, that's like when I really got into the thick of my drug addiction. I didn't start going to jail until I was 24. I've never done any real big time. All my sentences were like state, like 6 months here, you know, 3 months there, and this last go-round, and this is what changed everything. This last go-round, I did 8 months, and during that 8 months, my mom passed away. Now, that's something that we all, like all the females that go to jail, we fear that. Like, that's the one thing we'd be like, man, you know, we see people getting them letters, like, you know, so-and-so passed away. Man, I hope they don't get that letter. And I ended up getting that call, and it was my mom. At that point in time, you know, she had just wrote me a letter and said, you know, every decision that you make from here on out is going to affect those children. She didn't say me. She said my children, and I have a 2- and a 5-year-old. And I was just like, you know, she didn't tell me she was sick. She didn't tell me that she was dying. She just told me that, and it dawned on me then, like, I got to stop. I have to change. That's where the classes came into play. But that was the game changer, this last go-round. And when she passed away, well, I was locked up. Now, I was able to go to the funeral, but I wasn't able to be there for her. Like, I should have been able to be there for her because she had been there for me so long, for so many things. You know, she never ducked out on me. She never left me alone because of where I was. You know, she was mad. She may have cussed me out a couple of times, but she was there. And that moved me to feel like, you know, I don't want my children to have that story that I hear so much in the prison system, in the counseling system, in the drug rehabs. My mom wasn't there for me. My mom smoked dope. My mom did drugs. My mama didn't care. I didn't want my kids to have that story because I didn't have that story. You know, and I wanted to give them a chance. So, you know, I just decided to go ahead and break out.
Amen. It is just so powerful, and, you know, you speak so well about it. When you were, what type of drugs were you using that had you so far gone that nothing really mattered? Because a lot of times, you know, when we become mothers, we tend to, or we should, let go of those things that are holding us back because we have more to live for, you know, other than ourselves. We have our children now, so we have to fight harder. We have to stand strong, longer and stronger. So what was that drug of choice that you had that kept you going back?
I had a progression. This was the progression because my initial problem, the root problem, is self-acceptance. And so in order for me to duck out on not accepting myself, in order for me to numb that, I did anything and everything. My main drug was cocaine. It was the soft and the hard. But I went from weed to pills to powder to, you know, wet, you know, which is what they call, that's what they call it, wet. That's all
they
I
They call
think
it
of.
Wet, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they call it.
Right? All kinds of stuff. But that's the one that I have, that name. I did everything to keep running from myself. Just to keep running from myself. You know, and just my background is, and this is what really this is what really pushed it for me. My background is in radio. You know, I did the roll call. I was almost signed to rap a lot. I'm a writer. I'm a rapper. I do that. Like, that's my life. Music is my life. And it's just like I had made so many things happen when I was younger that I never thought I would be in that position where I was doing the things that I was doing in order to get high. So that weighed on me. You know, the stigma that's attached to crack cocaine, the stigma that's behind drug addicts, is just like it's unbearable. It's really hard for somebody to come out of that lifestyle because some people make people feel like after you do that, there's no coming back. You know, there's no life that you can live after you do those kind of drugs or after you do some of the things that you do to yourself for those drugs. So
how long has
come
been
out
clean?
Of that thinking.
Right. So how long have you been clean?
I made 2 years, April the 24th.
Amen, amen, amen. And it's powerful, you know, sometimes, God, it, believe it or not, sometimes we go through things in life, not just for ourselves, but for someone else, so that we can help someone else along the way. He will definitely use us in that industry. And it may have been the very thing that saved you because, and the reason why I'm saying this is because when you were, that industry alone, you know, entertainment, if your mind is not right, it will consume you. It will imprison you. You know, it will take control of you. And a lot of people, they succumb to it. And so it's probably, it happened at the, you know, timing is everything, regardless of what it is, the good, the bad, the ugly, timing is everything. So at that time, you know, God had to allow you to go through some things because your mother wasn't going to be here. So who was going to be there for your children? He had to get you ready, and timing was everything, because that business, I'm saying, you can't come back and get back on your feet because you're making those steps right now. Look at you now. Look where you're going now as a nine-time felon. Look where you're going, and your future is so bright. You're still young. You're willing. Not only are you able, but you're willing, and you're able mind, body, and spirit. And it's just a good thing. I don't know if you can hear my voice. I'm excited. I'm excited. Y'all that are listening tonight, I'm hoping that it's hitting home and it's inspiring, and you can, you know, because this show is archived, so you can share it after this show is over with someone that's going through it, that you know that's been through it or whatever, just to inspire anybody. You can post it on your Facebook page because we want people to hear this. This young lady went through a lot, and she's still going through, getting through it and progressing in it, because some people are still going through, but they're not progressing through. They're just stagnant in the mess. And so I know reading the article was something that stood out to me. I'm trying to remember what that was. And the main thing was when you realized that it was up to you and your mindset, that you had to set your mind, you had to channel your mind a different way, to basically tune in a different way to your own mindset. When that light bulb went off, were you in prison at that time, or where were you when that moment when the light bulb went off and you channeled, you changed your tuning of your mind, your way of thinking?
For me, this was a process. Like I said, you know, in the article I say relapse was a major part of the process. And that, and in my process of relapsing, I always had to pinpoint who I was around, what I was doing, what was it that made me feel like it was okay to pick back up. What was it I was going through that made me feel like that was the only way out? And going through that process let me realize that I wasn't going to be there long. You know, when I started thinking like that, I knew I wasn't going to be there long. But the light bulb went off basically when I was in jail, and I was just like, there is something wrong with what I believe to be true because I'm not getting the results that I think I should be getting doing what I'm doing. And the results I was looking for wasn't necessarily acceptance no more. I hadn't went past that. I just went to the point where I was just like, hey, they gonna never accept me. Now I was running, and I was just trying to numb. That's not how you deal with life. That's the light bulb that went off. That's not how you deal with life. You have to correct your thinking, and you have to start building new behavior patterns and habits that go with your new thinking. You know, and that was a process all in itself. That was like layers falling off, because then you have to go through this thing where you start pinpointing certain thoughts and certain things.
Let me ask you a question. Let me intervene for a minute. Let me ask you a question, because I've never been on drugs. I've never done any type of drugs. When you're at your
You know, because I've always heard when you get high, you start being high, then you want to get higher, then you want to get higher. You know, what was at the darkest while you was at your highest while doing the drug? What was it? Because, you know, to my audience, because we have a lot of people tuning in right now, believe it or not, they're online and they're actually calling into the show, listening, that they probably have a family member or themselves or, a child or sister or a mother or whatever. When you're at the highest, because sometimes what we need to do is try to understand what people are going through, because if we don't have that understanding, we can't help you. That's why they have professionals and specialists that help people through intervention. When you were at your highest doing the drug, what did you feel like at the time? Because I'm sure you, like you said, you did everything and you wanted to get higher and get higher and higher. What does that feel like?
The effect that it has on your body or your emotions?
Your mind, because we're talking about the mind, because what happened is you had to change your mindset. But when you got to get the highest drug, what was your mind like? What were you feeling like? What were you thinking?
Right, so for 5 minutes, right, because that's how long the high lasts, for five minutes, I can't feel anything. I'm not thinking anything. There's bells and sirens. I can't hear anything, I don't feel anything, which was the reason I chased that drug, because I kept trying to feel like that. I kept trying to not feel anything.
Right. And that's your darkest point.
It wasn't necessarily I get high and I feel good. I wasn't trying to feel anything. I felt
you
so
trying
bad
to feel anything.
About the fact that I had put myself in that position that I was just trying to not feel like that. It's just like a cycle of bringing yourself to the lowest. So you say get high, I say get low.
So you get high was to get low. You got high to get low. Okay, y'all heard that here on the show. So the church said she had to get high to get low. To bring herself down, she had to get high. And it's interesting that you say that, because people get high just to get low, and it makes a lot of sense when you don't want to feel anything, to bring yourself all the way down. And what happens is it allows you not to do anything, because you're bringing yourself down to the lowest by getting as high as you can. But it's just interesting. I want to talk to you more, but I'm gonna take a little music break, and we'll be right back. I have a couple more questions for you, and if there's anything else you could think of that you wanted to deliver to our listeners tonight, please do so. But we're going to take a little music break. If you're just now tuning in, we're talking about what is your problem. Right now we're interviewing Miss LaToya herself, Ms. Richards. Girl, I'm so proud of you. I'm just so glad. You know what? Somebody is always praying for you, and you never know who it is, but believe somebody is always praying on the other side. On the other side, I tell people all the time, I say, if it wasn't for other people's prayers, not just mine alone, but others, and I don't let everybody pray for me, but believe there's somebody praying for you and you going through it, you can't even pray for yourself. Here on the Diva Max Show, we're talking about what is your problem, and we have Ms. Richards on the line, but we're going to get back, take a little music break, and we'll be right back. Mo. Thank you, girl. We'll be right back.
All right.
One of the most difficult things to do is find yourself in a storm. And while in that storm, it seems like everyone who you thought you could count on has walked away. And sometimes it seems like even God himself has forgotten about you. But in spite of that, to still be able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you. Make it. Thank you, Jesus. sometimes it's so hard because everything that I see tells me not to believe. Happened to me 10 years ago. Yeah.
I can only trust you. No one else like you.
But it's the thoughts in my mind. I wonder how I will make it.
I will make it through.
Oh God, but I trust you. Sometimes the pain in my life, oh God, it makes you seem so far away. Can I get a witness, somebody? But God, I trust you. Through the tears, anybody ever had to cry late in the midnight hour? Every tear you've had to cry, through the heartache and rain. Come on, take it out through the tears. Oh, that's right, through the heartache. Listen, somebody's going through something right now, and the devil's trying to convince you that there's no way you can make it out, and he says you're not going to be able to get out of this situation, but I wish somebody would make the devil out of a lie right now and lift your hands and say, God, I will trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to show up, but God, I know you're going to do it. God, I know you're going to bring me out. Come on, if that's you, come on, lift your voice and say, I will. Oh, that's right. I'll trust you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I don't know when the pains go in, but I know, God, you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. So I trust you in spite of what I see, in spite of what I'm going through. I trust you. God, you've never left me. I know you love me. That's why I trust you. Come on, why you take it up? I had my heart broken. I made some mistakes. God, you still kept me. Oh, God, you're faithful. You see what I'm going through. You know my pain. I trust you. It's not easy for me, but I trust you. I know you're here with me. I'm not by myself. As long as I got you, Jesus, I can make it. I trust you. Yeah. Come on, by your side. I trust you. Oh, God, I just lost my job. But I got more bills than money, but
Show, and I'm your host, Diva Mac. Welcome back to the show. You all, if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about what is your problem. But right now, we are actually talking with LaToya. LaToya, let me bring her back on the line. And she's very, inspiring. And if you're going through, some people can be in the darkest places and be depression is a real thing, and anxiety, you know, dealing with the mind itself, mental illness. A lot of times when we are talking about health, we don't think about the mind, the mental part of being sick. We ought to think about the physically seeing the bruises inside or dealing with the cancers and diabetes and stuff like that. But mental illness needs to have treatments just like any other thing that we deal with. As we talk to LaToya continuously here on the show about her article that's been published. Again, LaToya, now where is it published at, that people can go out and they can read it, or they can pull it up online? How can they go about reading your article?
actually an online magazine called Hurts to Healing, Wounds to Wisdom, and you can pull it up, and you can actually search and look for me, but all the articles are awesome. It's an awesome magazine. You should all
say it one more time because you kind of went fast there so I can repeat it to my audience. You said Hurt to Healing?
Hurt to Healing. Hurt to Healing, Wounds to Wisdom.
Wounds to Wisdom. .com, you all. So make sure you go to Hurts to Healing, Wounds to Wisdom.com. I love that. Hurts to Healing. We all go through something in life. We all go through the same, sometimes the same things at the same time. But we all have life experiences. And it's about how we overcome those. Some people succumb to it. Some people succumb to life. They can't deal with life's obstacles, upsets, letdowns. And I'm so happy that we have you here on the show, that you took out the time to talk with me tonight. Is there anything you want to say to my listeners tonight? Again, we appreciate you, but you have the floor. I give you a full minute to say whatever it is that you like to say here on the Diva Mac Show.
I just want to tell people that, you know, no matter what you've been through, you can always come out of it. The problem is you. It doesn't matter what you think the problem is. The problem is normally and always, most likely, your thinking about that problem. Because as soon as you change your thinking about the problem will change. Simple as that.
And I'm glad you said that, because you have somebody there that is the victim, and that they really are the victim. And you people always say you're playing the victim, but and the reason why you say that you are the victim, because you can decide in your mind that I'm no longer going to be that victim, because you can say that. I understand why she's saying it, because some people may say I'm not the problem, she's the problem, he's the problem. When you decide to stay in something that is a mess, then you are part of that problem, which makes you a problem. Make you the problem, because only you can help you. You gotta want to get help. Your mother could have wanted to help you, your father, your cousin, everybody could have wanted to help you and save you. But until you decided you wanted to be saved and you wanted to help, and you had to change your way of thinking, and you did, and we're so proud of you. You keep going, girl. You keep striving. You keep being strong with your babies,
so,
and we gonna see you on the top. What you say?
I said thank you so much.
You're welcome, and we're going to get together, and we're going to work. Please stay on the show. We got another 30 minutes of the show, and continue to listen in, Latoya. Would you please do that for me?
Yeah, no problem, no problem.
All right, and we have someone else that wants to speak today. We're talking about what is your problem. This show will be an open discussion on dealing with people, problems, and adding problem-solving methods, facts, and with experiences as well. And a lot of people, they have their own problems, and they're dealing with problems. But we have Mr. Monroe here, Mr. BIP himself, on the line. How you doing, Monroe? What's going on with you, brother?
What's going on?
Hey, it's everyday living. That's what's going on with me over here. Today, what's your problem? What are you dealing with, or what do you have a problem with? We see you all over the media these days. You know, HISD. I mean, when I think of HISD now, I think of Mr. Gary Monroe, Mr. VIP, because people are marching behind you. What I mean, you have to be a powerful person. When I see people get behind you the way that they do, I mean, march behind you, take off work. I mean, meet you early in the morning to march at you and stand in front of these buildings. You have to be a powerful person, and people have to believe in you and what you are doing. What are you doing, Mr. Monroe?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm giving HISD a headache that they should have had for over 30 years in reference to equity in schools. You know, they're not being fair with the black and Hispanic schools as they are with the white schools.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the bottom line is I just hit a point where it ain't about me no more. I got my diploma. I've graduated. I could have attitude. I care less. But then after I sit back and watch politics at its best, dealing with African-American children, then I said, there's no more, no more. And what I've done in 2 years, the problems that I've caused for them in 2 years, I got a lot of older people from the 50s and 60s saying that they've never seen anybody handle these people the way that I handle them. So I'm very, very unconventional when I deal with them.
I believe that, because I know who you are. You know what I wanted to say when you got started, because what you're doing is you're making a difference. You're not just doing something and nothing's getting done. You're definitely making a difference, and we see it. It's one thing to hear about it and you don't see any change, but we see what you're doing, and you're definitely making a difference. But when did you decide, I'm going to do something about this?
I went to a board meeting. Of course, I had tackled issues with helping kids obtain band uniforms and different things. But I went to a board meeting, and I saw the District 4 representative, which was Paula Harris, treat African-American parents like garbage.
Hmm.
Like garbage. So I kind of just sat there in awe, and I'm like, there's no way in hell she would treat me like that. So, I mean, she became basically my arch enemy when it pertains to fighting the school. And ever since then, I've been on a mission. I've only missed one board meeting in 2 years because I was in the hospital. But besides that, I've not missed any meetings. So that's what triggered me, was the disrespect that she had for African-American parents, because they wanted answers to questions as it pertained to their children in school.
Right, right. And my thing is, you know, I've dealt with HISD, and it's sad to say they have a bad reputation. And it's sad to say, because they don't give, you know, they don't have the finances. They don't pour those same programs into, there are a lot of children that need help, that need the special help, and they're not pouring that into those schools. What they're doing is they're shutting down a lot of these schools instead of pouring into our black community. And I know that's
They actually have the money. So the big misconception that they don't have the money, they have the money. They're misappropriating the money.
He got me over here, stuck over here.
Misappropriating the money. Think about it like this. When they did the bond initiative, $1.89 billion is what they wanted to build schools.
Right.
You had every politician that was African-American coming to our neighborhoods, to our churches. Man, we need this bond. This is going to be great. Now, all of a sudden, you got $211 million of this money missing. Where's Rodney Ellis? Where's Shooter Jackson Lee? Where's Boris Miles? These are the people that came and bamboozled the black community into believing that they were going to build them new schools. Well, they're coming up right now. They'll tell us right now, well, we Worthing's going to open next year. Man, it took you 9 years to build Worthing. It took Bob McNair a year and a half to build Reliance Stadium. But you're building Worthing with 2007 bond money, not 2012.
And you know what? And a lot of times, and it's good that you're giving us those facts and those numbers, because a lot of people don't look at it like that. To really, you know, you have to open up people's eyes, because we've been blinded by the lies and the deception. But when you start looking at this, you know, when you start removing those blinds, you know, we have to get behind as parents. And I see why you have so many people that are behind you, that are rallying behind you and willing to go wherever you want them to go, because you got facts. Some people just come in with conversation and a good speech. You got facts, you got numbers, you know, that you can bring and have up front and say, hey, if you got a question up here, well, here's my proof. Right here. I'm not just talking.
Exactly.
That's what I love about you, is that you're one of those people that, yeah, you can write a good speech. You can rap about it and talk about it. But where are the facts? But when you can come with the facts, that's when you shut everybody down, because now they got to start answering. Then they start being fidgety. Then they start, you know, putting it on somebody else.
Well, I tell you this here. I got facts. I got figures. I got recordings of contractors saying who they paid. This is one reason these people don't want to play with me. Yes, I am a dangerous man. Am I in fear of my life? No, not at all, because I stand for what's right. So, of course, they try to make people believe, oh, he's just buck wild and he's crazy. No, I'm not. No, I'm not, because I'm coming down here every month and I'm complaining about the same thing. I mean, bottom line, if you got one school, which is a specialty school, say a HSPBA, let's just throw that out, and they have 800 kids, And then you have a Jack Yates that has 800 kids. But when you walk into HSPVA, it looks like a palace. You walk into Yates, it looks like a minimum security prison. But all the funding is given based on the number of kids in the school. But they got the same number.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I've done my research, and I, like I said, I'm with you. And I, you know, today if you tune in to this, make sure we're talking about what's your problem and whether it's, you know, you have a problem or dealing with the problem. What are you doing about the problem that you're dealing with? And I'm not talking to you, Gary. I'm talking about people that are listening. What are you doing about the problem? Because a lot of people would just, you know, they'd be stagnant in the problem. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do problem solving. They don't know what methods to apply. They don't know how to get the facts. They don't know how to gain the experience to have the knowledge. But people like you and myself and Ms. Richards and others that are out there that can deliver that information to them so that they can gain the knowledge, so that they can do better, so that they can deal with the problem so that we no longer have a problem. It may take a long time to resolve the problem to its fullest, but you got to start somewhere to start resolving that problem, that issue at hand. Now, we were talking earlier. Go ahead.
I think we started trying to solve the problem last November with District 4 because we voted in Jolanda Jones. And if you've ever had the pleasure of watching a board meeting online or showing up and seeing it in person, this is their worst nightmare, Jolanda Jones, because she doesn't hold her tongue. And she is at a point where your schools have everything, our schools have nothing, you're getting nothing. Until these schools get what they're supposed to have, you're getting nothing. And then their worst nightmare is 2017 because I get to run for the school board against Wanda Adams. So Jolanda Jones and Monroe on the same school board, it's going to be hell to pay the cabin.
Yes, it is. You heard it first here on the Diva Rec Show with Mr. Monroe himself. Y'all, please, if y'all are not following him on Facebook, please follow him and gain the knowledge. This man is knowledgeable. He's doing things. He's making a difference for our children. Believe it or not, our children are our future. And if we don't start pouring into our children, what does our future look like? And we thank you, Gary, for being on the show. Please continue to tune in. I'll be right back with you. I'm going to take a little music break, you all. Today we're talking about what is your problem. When we come back, we're going to talk about what does your feet say about your health. Here on the Diva Mac Shows, we do our health awareness. Stay tuned, Mr. Monroe. I'll be right back with you. God, thank you for the people that you sent today because we are gaining so much knowledge. We're being inspired. We're being motivated to do more, to start solving our problems and realizing that we may be very well be the problem as long as we stay in the same mindset. We can't change anything until we change how we think about our life and life itself. Here on the Diva Mac Show, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. All right.
One of the most. One touch will change.
don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.
I'm your host, Diva Mack. If you're just now tuning in, we're talking about what is your problem here. See, on the show, it's been a great show. I hope you all enjoying it, whether you're logged in online or tuned in by phone today. I definitely appreciate you all's support. I want to give a shout-out to my cousin, Shauna. I don't know if she's listening or she's logged in, but she always come out. I want to take this moment to thank those that come out all the time and support Diva Mack, Darby, Shauna, who else? Miss Connie always comes out. Rhonda, if I forget you, it's because you ain't came enough. It ain't because lost the thought. But those that always come out and support and send people and always tell people, tell the next person, because we're definitely doing things. We're definitely making noise. Don't sleep on us. Don't say, oh, y'all still there, little theater. And we're doing big things in little places. And sooner we'll be doing bigger things in bigger places. We're definitely on the move. We had a show this past Saturday. The electricity went out. And I'm one of those people, the show must go on. We're trying to order spotlights and all kind of stuff. So the theater lights went off three or four times, and eventually they were saying, well, we just have to cancel the show. And, you know, me, I was like, no, and those people that came, they were ready to be entertained. If they didn't care about being in the dark, they actually sat and waited, and the lights came on and stayed on, and the show went on. And I have to say, it was one of the best shows of the year. So if you've been to shows this year, then you missed the best show of the year last Saturday. This past Saturday was really, I'm talking about, awesome, great show. I want to give a shout out to my cast. They did an awesome job, to my mother and mother-in-law that actually helped. So I just want to thank you all for your support and let you know that it's noticed. It doesn't go unnoticed. I thank you, and I thank you for bringing other people and introducing them to the Diva Mack production and what we do as the production as a whole. Now, those that are my true supporters, come on out to Lufkin next month. We'll be in Lufkin at the Pine Theater, making history there. Back in the days, black people couldn't even sit in that theater, and when it did come a time that they allowed black people in, they had to sit up top. They couldn't sit down below with the white people, the white folk. But now we're booking the venue, and we're performing on that very stage that we could not even sit down at the seat, and we're doing a thing. So we're going to Lufkin, and we got people coming, rallying behind us and coming behind us and going to enjoy the show. The play that we're bringing is Who You Have in Church With. And if you've seen it, trust me, you haven't seen it the way we're going to put it on in Lufkin, Texas. We're definitely going to bring all the bells and whistles and a little bit more, and I will be playing the storm role as Pastor Johnny Banks. And if y'all know Johnny Banks, y'all know when I play Johnny Banks, I'm all the way in character. So come on out and have a good time out in Lufkin. You can get those tickets pre-sale from us here in Houston as well by calling 281-839-8153. Again, the number is 281-839-8153. Today's topic, we're talking about what is your problem. Let's talk about right now, let's do our health awareness, a part of the show. I want you to make a simple 10-second check on the state of your health. Sneak a peek at your feet. We're talking about your feet. You can detect everything from diabetes to nutritional deficiencies just by examining your feet alone. Now, let's talk about that, you all, because I always have to give that health awareness here on the Diva Mack Show, what it means. Red flag, toenails with slightly sunken spoon shape and indentations. What this means is that there's iron deficiency, often shows up as an unnatural concave or spoon-like shape to the toes or nail beds, especially in moderate to severe cases. It's caused by not having enough hemoglobin, an iron-rich protein in your blood cells that transport oxygen. Now, internal bleeding such as ulcers or heavy menstrual periods can trigger anemia. On more clues about this is on your fingers as well as your toes. The skin and the nail beds both appear pale. The nails may also be brittle, and the feet may feel cold. Fatigue is the number one sign of anemia, as shortness of breath, dizziness when standing, and headache. Now, what you can do is a complete blood count. It's usually used to diagnose anemia. A physical exam may pinpoint causes, and first-step treatment includes iron supplements and dietary changes to add iron and vitamin C. Then we're talking about your feet. Your feet can tell a lot what's going on with your health. Hairless feet or toes, believe it or not, it shows that you have chelation, usually caused by vascular disease, and can make hair disappear from the feet. When the heart loses the ability to pump enough blood to the extremities because of arteries, scoliosis, commonly known as hardening of the arteries, the blood has to prioritize its use. Now, hairy toes are well low on the toe timid pole. Now, to reduce the blood supply also makes it hard to feel a pulse in the feet of the foot or the inside of the ankle. When you stand, your feet may be bright red or dusky, and when elevated, they immediately turn pale. The skin is shiny. People with poor circulation tend to already know that they have cardiovascular conditions such as heart disease or coronary artery, or yet may not realize that they have circulation problems at all. And I hope this is helping someone out there today. I always like to do some type of health awareness because I have foot issues or feet issues or heart, you know, whenever I have something going on in my body. Now that I'm getting older, I pay more attention to things that are going on in my body and with my body as I'm aging. There are other things that you can look at with your feet, frequent foot cramping. If you have a lot of Charlie horses in your feet, and lately I've had that, the sudden stab of a foot cramp, basically the hard contraction of a muscle, can be triggered by fleeting circumstances such as exercise or dehydration. If you're dehydrated, then this will happen. But if it happens often, your diet may lack sufficient calcium, potassium, or magnesium. You all, that's your health awareness here on the Diva Max Show. I hope that helps someone today on the show. And we'll talk about what is your problem. What do you have a problem with? I do have someone that wants to, if you want to speak, please press 1 at this time if you'd like to speak. Caller 832-874, you're on with Diva Max. Okay, I guess there was no one, probably the same line there. But you all, y'all, I don't know if y'all heard in the news. I kind of have a problem with this, and then I don't. But you know, you have a problem with something, but then you really don't. Then you find it's just you. But Bobby Brown has a book that he's written that's coming out. Now, you know, he tried to come out with a book when Whitney was alive, and she kind of stopped that, put that on halt. But it's called Every Little Step, and I don't know if y'all heard about it, but it's been on the radio and in the media about this book. In his memoirs, Every Little Step, the platinum selling artist Bobby Brown responds to the questions you had and some you didn't know you had. Okay, now Bobby Brown's Every Little Step book, as the title suggests, walks through each step in his life from childhood through the new edition. Then it covers his Don't Be Cruel solo days and moves through into his marriage with Whitney Houston and Alicia Everett Brown, I guess is who he's married to now. There are testimonials from family members like Ralph Tresvant and producer Babyface, you know him as Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. Brown details his own bad boy behaviors as well as Houston's. He admits to his many sexual affairs, including liaisons with Janet Jackson and Madonna. He shares details about his drug problems and his encounters with the law. He also insists he was not responsible for Houston's death, claiming that she was using cocaine before him and her even ever got together, even after his recovery. He also shares her bad girl behaviors and claims she cheated on him with numerous partners, including the late Tupac Shakur and other producers and artists she worked with. According to the book, Brown's daughter with Kim Ward, LaPrincia Brown, was in the car with Whitney Houston and Bobby Christina and Nick Gordon one time. Someone sparked up a joint. They all started smoking pot together. Yes, Whitney was smoking with the children, y'all. Whitney was smoking. This is what Bobby Brown is saying. Brown battled with singer Sissy Houston, Whitney's mother, and other family members, and alleges a public orchestration intended to keep him from his daughter and seal his nefarious reputation. He tragically writes both of Whitney and Christy and had been tragically lost on their watch and not mine. And this is what he's saying, how that they both were taken on their watch while they were trying to intervene and stop him, and all the time the family was the problem. I would suggest you all get the book, read it for yourself. So tell me what you think about it. I don't know what to think about it. You know, you've heard so much over the years, but definitely something worth reading. And if you're interested, if you follow the celebrity lifestyle and how it went about it, was definitely sad. You know, losing Whitney and losing her daughter as well. But again, we go back to when we were talking with LaToya, it's about your mindset and changing how you think. And, to, you know, in order to change how you live, you have to change how you think, because it all starts with the mind. And so people succumb to it. Some people don't overcome and some people succumb. And so we have to be able to get the help that we need, you know, instead of trying to mask those things, you know, and until it takes us out of here. We have to get the help. We have to cry out. We have to ask people to, you know, to help us. Sometimes you got to put your pride to the side and reach out and say, hey, help me. I'm in need of help. I can't do it by myself. Some of us can do it by ourselves. Some of us can, you know, take that 12-step program and read it and start implement those things into our lives on our own. But some of us don't have that type of mindset, that kind of strength to endure and to go through. But the best thing about going through something is getting through it and being able to be a testimony and being able to inspire and help someone that is going through the same thing that you have went through or are going through. And you can help someone. Sometimes they say it's best to have someone there to help you get through it. Get out of time, get a workout partner, and that'll keep you motivated and stuff like that. And believe it or not, in life, you need that. You need someone. You got people holler, I don't need nobody. Yes, you do. You need somebody. Yes, we need God, and we need God to send us people, because God works through people. People get help. Again, I'm glad you all tuned in as we wrap up the last few minutes of the show. I'm your host, Diva Mac. Y'all, the next show is going to be in Lufkin, July 23rd, and we're going to start traveling. Babe, we're about to hit the road. I'm excited what God is doing. I'm excited what he's about to do, y'all. Get excited about Diva Mac Production. Don't stop coming. If you can't come, send somebody to the show, because we have to get out there. We have to support one another, and I got to do better with that. I have so much on my plate, and I'm starting to get a little stuff off my plate so I can do a little bit more. And I'm going to be giving back, and if people need me to come out and speak, I'm going to start giving back in that aspect of it and speaking, so that I can help those that are going through as well with things that I've been through and how I deal with certain things and how I've overcome a lot and still be able to stand strong and still be able to inspire others at the same time go through my storm. You all tune in next Monday again to Diva Mac Show as we continue to discuss several topics to inspire and uplift those. I'm your host, Diva Mac. Y'all enjoy the rest of your night. God bless you and God keep you.
She saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight that he saw the best in me. I guess I'm the only one that got this testimony. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one.
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When God walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me,
Can
I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, see, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees.